All right. Again, Luke. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We read this portion already earlier, so we're just going to focus in on verse 14. And like I said, I'm going to ask you to look at a couple other places to help you understand this verse a little better. Verse 14, this is what the angels are saying. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased." So that's the New American Standard Version that's up above. And that's, you don't even have an outline. I'm just going to preach from this verse and try to exposit it, and hopefully it'll be helpful to each one of us. Because when I hear this song, even when I hear Longfellow's version of it, he's quoting from the King James Version of the Bible. And so it can give, I believe, the wrong impression of what this verse means, what the angels were announcing that morning. And so I hope by the end of this that clears a little bit of it up for you. But as you look in my Bible, it's indented a little bit and has quotation marks around just this verse. That is because this is one of four hymns that are in the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke. So these are ancient hymns of the early church. And this one is entitled and based upon the words of this verse in the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible into Latin in about the 4th century. And it became the dominant version of the Bible for, you know, whatever, 1,000, 1,500 years. And the title of the hymn, because in Latin, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Where have you heard that so far tonight? Angels we have heard on high. Glory in Excelsis Deo. Gloria is a proclamation. It says that they were, in verse 13, suddenly there appeared with the angel then a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. That's what they're doing. They're saying, glory to God. If you saw the Sun Dogs this morning, you said, hallelujah. You said, glory to God. Praise God. Right? That's the natural reaction of God's creatures. It should be when we see something that is worth praising God for. So gloria in excelsis is in heaven or in excellence, far surpassing everything. In excelsis Deo is God. So glory to God in the highest, in heaven. Basically saying the same thing Jesus said at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer when Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's the same reaction. Okay? And so, the first part of this is the angel's proclamation, because as I mentioned earlier, the angels had longed for 6,000 years plus to look into how God was going to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy, starting in Genesis chapter 3, all the way through the Old Testament. How was he going to accomplish this promise of sending a Redeemer that would be king forever? And then when it happened, you can see why the angels were so excited. And so in the original, in the Christmas story, when Jesus was born and the angels sang and the shepherds came, the whole civilized world was experiencing, living under what was called the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, or the Roman peace. If you kept the peace, the reason the Jews were able to get Jesus crucified was because they said he wasn't keeping the peace. And if they could stir up enough trouble, this is how Satan works, if he can stir up enough trouble, then the Roman government, the Roman army would come down upon you. Okay? And so they were living, if you just went along with everything, you got along pretty well. They were living in the Roman peace. So if you talk to a Roman about peace, they would say, yeah, we've got a government that enforces pretty decent laws for the most part, and if you just cooperate, everything will be fine. So they thought they were living in a period of relative peace, and they were. But the angels were proclaiming something different, weren't they? They were proclaiming an inner, deeper, longer-lasting peace of the soul, peace of mind. And as we come to this hymn, this is my dilemma. It comes to us as peace on earth. Great, God sent his son Jesus. He's going to save everybody. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And it sounds like what you see in the movie Scrooge. And there's a lot of good things about that movie. But as is common in so many movies, and I know most of you are going to know what I'm talking about, but some of you might not. Some of you might not know the difference between somebody, and I've brought up my crosses here. Okay, here's the story of Scrooge. Well, he's a mean, evil guy. Bah, humbug, Christmas, rah, don't give money to the poor. So you all would admit that his horizontal relationships with his fellow man are off. Okay, because his relationship with God is off. Okay, now here's the story of Scrooge and most Christmas movies and Hallmark and Hollywood. This is the story. You're all messed up, and this can be intimated in the way that hymn was written based upon not the Latin Vulgate anymore, but the King James Version of the Bible. It says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It sounds like Scrooge has a great awakening. He gets really scared. He looks into the future. He realizes he's going to die, and he gets scared straight. And so then he got right with men. He gives money. He, you know, to the poor. He straightens himself out. Goodwill. And you enjoy watching him do that, and it feels good. But it's like, okay, Scrooge got himself straightened out. Therefore, God is pleased with him. See that? That's not how it works. That's why we have to understand what this verse says. And when we sing the hymns, it came out in several of our songs already tonight. It came out, that's not the order of things. See, peace that the angels are singing about is not dependent upon the government. It's not dependent on anything external. And it's not even dependent on me turning into a good guy and showing you goodwill. Okay? It's something completely different. It is the gospel. You see, peace is not guaranteed to all people. And you would say, well, of course, not mean people, but not even to nice people. Peace is not guaranteed to all people that get their lives straight and become nice. We get this all the time in the world. We are told there's going to be unity. Let's just all unite. Let's just all get along. You can't. That will never happen. You can't do it by straightening out the horizontal. You can't do it by getting a vaccine. You can't do it by having the president that you want elected. Not the peace that the angels are talking about. All of these things can be good things. And we are naturally affected by disease and loved ones getting the disease and losing our jobs and a host of other things. But the peace the angels are talking about can only be experienced in one way, and it's exactly the opposite way of the message of Scrooge. And so the way you do it, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified, that means my guilt is forgiven. Having been justified, a judge says, you're not guilty. Having been justified by what? By becoming a good guy? By getting my life straightened out? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, one commentator said, peace is not given to those who have goodwill, but to those who are recipients of God's goodwill and favor. Another person said, J.C. Ryle said in Old English, now the time is come when God's kindness and goodwill towards guilty man is to be fully known. So this is what the angels are so happy about. This is what they are proclaiming. They're saying, this is how God's going to do it. He's going to send his son Jesus to become a human being, to be born in humble estate in a manger, and he's going to make it possible for the glorious God in the highest, the holy God, to make guilty men, give them the opportunity to do this. And then he'll make it possible for us to get along. We will only have unity in the world. We'll only have unity in our families. We'll only have unity at work if everybody does this. And then we're on the same page. Then we work things out. Then we have peace and we have unity. All right, so peace with God is, do you understand? Let me show you. If you think, well, I think that's just your interpretation. Let me show you something real important. Look at verse 14 again. Glory to God in the highest. Praise you, God. Because on earth, now, there's going to be peace among men with whom God is pleased. Now, there's that little phrase, with whom God is pleased. Turn with me to chapter 3, verse 22. This is the only place I want to make you turn. 3:22. 21. Now, it came about, when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also was baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened. So Jesus being baptized, you all know the story. The Holy Spirit descends upon him, verse 22, upon him in bodily form like a dove. Now watch this. And a voice came out of heaven. This is God himself speaking about Jesus. And he says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The same basic wording. So it isn't, get this right, and then I'll be pleased with you. It's, I am pleased with you because you have responded rightly to the gospel. So that did it for me. I hope that's somewhat helpful for you. And so it is with believers. It is with receivers. It's a gift, but you have to receive it. It is for the reconciled, the adopted children of God with whom he is now pleased, or upon whom his pleasure rests, who can experience his peace. So Jesus is, we'll sing about it in a little bit. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And on the night before he died, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said to his disciples, they were nervous, they were anxious, they were uncertain, they were fearful. They knew something big was happening. He was going to die, and he was going to leave them, and they were very distressed. And Jesus said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." Now he makes the distinction. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus was fulfilling that verse. He had come. He was about to go to the cross. He was going to accomplish what he was born to do and take your sins upon himself and die in your place. But then he'll offer that gift to you if you will receive it. So, one other thing, as we look around the world, even Christians today are disagreeing and fighting. When Jesus brought peace, he also brought a sword. I'm going to ask you to turn one more place. In the Gospel of Luke, go to chapter 12, verse 49. Luke 12, 49. In Luke 12, 49, listen to what Jesus said. "I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo." He's talking about going to the cross. "And how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth?" The Bible contradicts itself. He's the Prince of Peace. He brought peace, peace on earth, goodwill towards men that God is pleased with. And here Jesus says, "Did you think I came to bring peace on the earth? Listen to this. He says, I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members to one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Do you get the point? So, now, you might say, well, it seems like it contradicts. No, nothing is contradictory here. What he's saying is, as he brings peace to those who will receive him and be reconciled to God, have your sins forgiven, made right with God, peace with God, as he does that, there are going to be other people in the world. Oh, I should be showing the Facebook people this. There's going to be other people in the world like this. There's lots of people in the world like this. Either they believe in a totally different God, or they don't believe in God, or they believe in Scrooge's message, and they think they're good, and they think they're right, and they believe what they want to believe, and they don't want to be confused with the facts of the gospel. And what happens when this meets this? It just doesn't look good, does it? And it isn't good. It's bad. That's why there's so much strife and hatred and division and fighting and wars in the world. And so Jesus, when you receive Christ, when you respond to God by receiving Jesus and you have peace now with God through Jesus, when you do that, you're automatically in his army. And there is going to be this war going on between his people and the people of the world until he returns again. And therefore, what I want you to understand tonight, I hope I'm making it clear, is there are two very similar sounding but very different messages being brought to us. There's the message of the world and the message of Scrooge that you just be nice and I'll be nice and we'll all be nice and then there will be peace. We'll all just get right with God by being right. And then there's the gospel. The gospel is, here comes Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 12. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, now born to give us second birth, born now not of the will of man or of the flesh, but born of the Spirit of God. And so if you have been born of the Spirit of God, and I know most of you, and I know most of you have, maybe all of you have, maybe not, maybe you've got me fooled, maybe you've got everybody else fooled, maybe you don't even care. Maybe you don't. You wouldn't even say that you're born again. But if you are, you know what I'm talking about. You know the distinction, don't you? Between the gospel of Scrooge and the gospel of Christ. Works righteousness versus righteousness by faith. Do you understand the distinction? And what I want to ask you that, have you received Christ? Have you? Because you won't get it from a vaccine. And you won't get it when, oh, this is all over with. You won't get it when he gets elected. And you won't get it from having a successful business. And you won't get it being COVID-free or cancer-free or cardio condition-free. And you won't get it when all of your relationships are intact. And you won't get it even when you become that better person. God's peace is the result of God's plan, God's purpose, God's decision, God's grace. This verse that we're studying emphasizes God, doesn't it? And so he initiated all of this. And then it is our response of faith. Trust him. Open your heart. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. Receive the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of your sins. And if you do that, you will have peace with God. You will be justified before God. And if you do that, Only then will you be on the road to increasing happiness, increasing just knowing why you're here and what this is all about. It is what you're looking for. It's the Christmas spirit, the elusive Christmas spirit won't give you this, but receiving Christ will. And here's the even better part, I think. If you receive Christ, and you know for sure that you have, then you can now become an agent of God's grace and God's peace to others. And just as the gospel that the angels proclaim began to spread throughout the whole world, didn't it? It is happening today. It doesn't matter what you read on the news. It doesn't matter what China does. None of that is going to change the fact that Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if you receive Christ and you have this peace, no matter what the stuff going around us ends up looking like, and I want it to go a certain way. I've got my desires, absolutely. I've got my earnest prayers for the way I want certain things to go. But I also have Christ's peace right here that I know has me on this road. And so I ask you this morning, have you done this? I use this on Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is a whole other message. But this is how you get straight. It's getting right with God. Have you received Christ? Have you been born again? Do you know for sure that you have the peace of Christ in you? Do you know that? If not, I pray that you do it tonight or you do it this Christmas. Don't let this Christmas pass by without listening to what the angels were saying and what it really means. Don't be confused and miss it because you believe it's all about people being nice to each other. That's not going to do it. If that was true, why did Jesus come at all? And you might say, well, because he was a pretty nice guy and he showed us that if we're nice, it all turns out well. That's not why he came. That is not what the Bible says. Read the story. My peace I give to you. My peace I live with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. I have a baptism to undergo, and oh, how I wish it were already done, and how I long for it to be accomplished. And that's why it was on the cross that Jesus said what? It is what? He accomplished it. He came, that he was born to die. That's the gospel. He died so you don't have to. Do you understand that? Do you want to understand it? Are there some of you out there that either you don't know what I'm talking about, or I've heard that before, it's nothing new. Are you grappling with these deepest things? Please, don't let this Christmas go by without you answering any questions that you might have in your mind right now because of what I've said, or because of what you've read. Please, receive Christ. Have you? And if you have, and I know, again, most of you have, if you have, are you still like this, though? Because you've succumbed to the pressures of Christmas. Some of us, after a couple of days of this, are going to be like this. Right? Some of you parents of young children, you're already like this. Have you succumbed to the pressures of COVID, or the fear of COVID, or politics, or whatever? How can you have the peace of Christ this Christmas? By faith. Trust Him. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. So come to Christ, whether for the first time or again, come to Christ this Christmas. Hear the words of the angels. They were praising God. I hope that you're able to just praise God. We're going to give you an opportunity here in just a moment. We're going to light candles. The symbolism of what we're about to do is we're going to remember what the angels were preaching on that first Christmas. And there we're going to be giving glory to God in the highest, because now peace is possible on earth among men with whom he is now pleased because we've responded to the gospel in the right way and we've trusted in his son Jesus and we've had our sins forgiven and we've been reconciled to our heavenly Father and now we're able to be agents of peace in the world and the light is going to spread and spread until Jesus returns. We're all part of that. So, as we light these candles and sing, won't you come to Jesus and won't you let his peace fill you, the peace that surpasses all comprehension. Let it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus tonight, no matter what seems to threaten you this Christmas. Will you bow your heads and just pray for a moment while we kind of get things set up? Just go to God. Let his Spirit work in your heart. Respond to him. Listen to him.